My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, looks like it's just the Nichols of the Now Generation today. Judy McGuire is out on assignment, out in the field, and no doubt she'll be bringing back a bigger than big story next week, but this week I'm really happy. I'm joined by no less than my very favorite pornographers for a change, and we're going to be talking about teledildonics, my new favorite word, among everything. It's okay, Lux, you can laugh. We're here with Lux Alptrum from Fleshbot.com. Welcome
Hello.
Back.
Thank you. Always glad to be
you're
here.
You're almost a regular here. It's good to see you. And my buddy Chip Mahoney, my longtime porn-slinging pal from back...
Hi.
Reagan was president when you and I started spreading the pink. Holy shit.
I'm glad to be back. And, here a couple years ago.
Yeah, man. And you've got your new magazine, Temptress, which, unlike anything else you've ever done, is not filthy and disgusting.
Not at all, no. It's a very positive, creative, strong, you know, sexy women who aren't the typical sort of drug-addled bimbos in the, you know, in the porn business. And I'm really excited about this. It's been doing well. And,
Temptress.
Yeah, we've got one of the lovely models from the new issue here with us.
That's right. Marla Marquis is also joining us.
Yay.
Hi, Marla.
Hello.
Awesome. And she's the most interesting girl I think I've ever interviewed, actually.
That's saying quite
Seriously.
A lot, because just
I've
been in this business,
he
interviewed 1,000 porn stars, I'm
at
sure.
At least.
And Marlo is the most interesting.
I think because just everything she's got going on, you know.
I don't even do porn.
But she does all the performing, all this interesting, like, fire walking and glass striptease act and fire eating. She tells me sword swallowing, hook suspensions, everything. I mean, that's perfect. And she's hot, you know. and that's great. You know, I mean, it's really just... Things have really changed.
Well, I'm just glad you have a job, Chip. To be honest,
to
be honest with you, I mean, you were last seen as the last chapter in my book, Dirty, Dirty, Dirty. As they came to take away your desk and your computer, and your last words, well, I guess I'm gonna have to work from home, which has always been my dream to do porn with my pants off.
Right. actually, do it instead of just, you know, enjoying it. But it was tough for a while. I was thinking about going back home, trying to get my old job back in Oklahoma in the oil fields.
But, Jesus Christ.
Old for that.
when I met Chip, I guess 1987, I guess?
I think it was about 89, actually.
Ish.
Yeah.
I started over there
still
just before you.
I was still locked up in 87.
And you were right off the fucking bus from Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And you had this big black briefcase, like a doctor's kit bag, right? And you had like a big bag of weed and a gun, right?
I didn't know what you needed for New York. You know, I just assumed.
The shit really hit the fan that night. We were driving back from that stupid country club out, and you started shooting. You started firing the gun out the window. This is back on.
I didn't know that the people didn't do that around here when they were happy.
You scared the little shit out of everybody.
Well, I guess so. Everybody
was celebrating.
We were drunk.
You were shit-faced.
I'm driving and firing out the window at the same time.
Yeah, first time in the city.
On 95. On I-95.
This
is
in Texas, Chip.
I didn't know. Everybody's like, hey, why is everybody so quiet? And they're just like,
that was the
I turn around and look. They're
take
like,
whatever you want.
Lux, do you have a dress code over at Fleshbot?
No.
No. Because when we started working, worked, you know, for this douchebag Carl Ruderman, who was the fake secret pornographer. In fact, Larry Flint had once put a bounty out just to get a picture of him. He was offering $500 to get a picture of Ruderman just to make him asshole of the month.
Oh, my God.
Because he was just like, you know, kid, you know, born with a, you know, platinum spoon in his mouth, who had started doing these porn magazines. And But he was like hiding behind his like Connecticut society.
Yeah, yeah.
He made all of us wear ties in the office, as if. And we never had any interaction with the public. But it was like this more of this like weird fucked up fantasy that what we were doing was legit.
But I feel like I've actually heard from people who work at Hustler that like Hustler is super corporate and
Hustler is very corporate.
Yeah. Say that.
Hustler is very
yeah.
boring. Last time I was over at the office when I was talking to Larry Flint when I was working on Dirty. It's real fucking quiet over there. It's like a fucking mausoleum.
And I think people, because people get this idea that, oh, it's porn, it's going to be crazy. And I mean, if you're actually shooting it, maybe, or if you're like,
yes.
you know, but being if you're the yeah. publisher and you're making a magazine, it's a magazine environment, and the bigger and more corporate, like, because in the realm of porn, Hustler's pretty corporate.
Yeah.
And so, that's yeah, why it's going to be like a corporate environment, yeah.
Yeah,
we were. I can't believe you even get Fleshbot, you know, done with all the sex you must be having all the time.
Yeah, that's what people used to think about us, too.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like the man who shot Liberty Valance. If the myth sells more than the man, sell the myth.
That's true, yeah. Sell the sizzle, not the steak, right?
So but, you've had lots of job-related sex, Chip, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I mean...
with women, I mean.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, once. Yeah. Mm. No, it's been okay. I mean, up until I, you know, put on a ton of weight. I did okay for myself. I enjoyed the fruits of my labors. But
well, it's funny because you've dumped on me this giant pile of squack rags.
You know, I'm putting my legacy together for a website in case I die. Like, you know, this Gandolfini thing really got me thinking. I need to put everything together now, get it, you know. Because I'm one fried shrimp dinner away from the grave, too, you know.
And, well, I love this pile of, like, pornography you dumped on me here, though. Because this truly is your life.
It's pretty much it, yeah. It's pretty much
this is it.
It's 20 years worth of stuff there.
And I love here in Gallery Magazine, for anybody who remembers these magazines. You know, it's so sad. I mean, these really are... You know, it's good that you're here, Marla. I want you to meet a couple dinosaurs. Like,
you never saw dinosaurs.
This is like a visit to the Natural History Museum.
But here we are, 2002.
But right. I love this, 2002 in Gallery. And, you know, yeah, because, you know, I just buy these magazines for the articles.
Me too. That's
but if I were to, and notice the clever use of the subjunctive there, how safe are we to the world's premier intelligence agency let 9/11 happen? It's your story on the NSA. Okay?
11 years 10 ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. 11 years ago. Unbelievable.
I that's why I brought it today. I actually forgot I wrote it because I used to
scoop million. And that's saddled right in here by a picture of Ashton. Photographed by Suze Randall. Was this like Third Rights? This,
that, yeah, right? That's all like.
Yeah, I'm sure you couldn't afford her stuff. She's still in the business here. Any of the photographers
Suze,
used to work with?
I don't know.
I mean, she was probably the most famous of them all, right? Suze Randall.
I mean, definitely the richest. She's still in,
definitely the richest one.
Her site's definitely going. And I think, I don't know if she still photographs, but her daughter Holly Randall definitely does.
Holly's very business.
Yeah.
That's good, and I see there's a photo shoot here by our old friend Wally Wang.
Warren Tang, yes.
Oh, good lord. Ashton's got this, like, pink vibrator dildo thing right up her hoosets. Remember the day that was so not allowed? When we started the business. You know, the line between hardcore and what was allowed in the newsstands was very sharply drawn.
Yeah.
And it meant no penetration. It was, like, obviously one of the rules. And penetration was, if you couldn't see the girl's fingernail, that was penetration.
Yep.
Okay.
If it's in enough that you can't see the fingernail. And the penis had to be assisted with a hand.
That's right. No erections. And an erection was defined as 45 degrees.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing one of our coworkers walking around because he went with a protractor.
With a protractor.
You know, you know, it probably came with his lunchbox. Yeah, you know, yeah. You know, and the compass.
Must be talking about these... Amel. Remember Amish pornographer?
The Amish pornographer. It was a very weird fucking office we worked in, man.
Nebushi
Jewish guy and kind of the greasy Italian guy that kind of ran the place.
Oh, God.
And, hey, you know, R.I.P. Carmen Bellucci. I really like Carmen.
Oh,
I
love Carmen. Upset when he died. Yeah, I loved him. He was great.
You know.
He
gave us a pretty fucking long rope off his
He fucked all the Russ Meyer girls. He fucked Sissy Spacek. That was one of his favorite stories.
Yeah.
I fucked Sissy Spacek when she was nobody. She was never nobody. She was always somebody. Well, Lucy Diggard, I fucked her, too.
Before Gallery, I'm looking at Chip, your resume to Fox Magazine.
Yeah, going you know, back. We're
let's
going
see
back.
What we got here. And here you're actually starring in one of these things. This is, Nurse Chelsea and the Freak with Two Pussies.
We had a girl. She had two urethral openings or
oh
something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's not two pussies.
Where are those girls these days?
I know someone who has...
She's in a box under my basement.
I forget if it's two uteruses or like a split uterus.
Wow.
But I know someone...
You know, if I had five penises, my pants would fit like a glove.
Oh! Although I guess that, I mean, I see two dildos inside her, but that doesn't necessarily mean she has there, two it's, pussies.
It was very small. It was actually so hard to photograph, we actually lost interest in it after a while.
Yeah, I'm like, that doesn't necessarily mean she has two pussies. I've seen people with one pussy do that.
There's a, see up magnifying glass we gotta put. Yeah.
Too hot for television.
Too hot for radio. Internet radio. I'm perfect for internet radio. I look great. By the way, I got a six pack.
Chip, what was your? We worked together on a High Society. I guess you worked on. I don't even remember what magazine you worked on then. Cherry, Crescent Family. Cherry.
This one, Live Girls.
Live Girls, which got turned into Young Live Girls. It was the most, you know.
Yeah, I got to be one of those.
You know, I wrote some stuff for Barely Legal, and I really kind of regret it, to be honest with
Why?
You. Of all the crap I've done in my career, I mean. You know, I mean, it's okay. It's one thing to see, like, you know, hot women, like, you know, in, like, Catholic schoolgirl outfits.
Yeah,
it's another thing to see a girl sucking her thumb with a teddy bear. That's just fucking wrong.
Oh,
man.
That was all.
That's
yeah.
just fucking wrong.
I'm glad I never really got into that, because when I did Live, it was all, like, Lezzy stuff. It was all two-girl stuff. And then they kept changing the format of that magazine, and it was like, you know, it became a young girl
book.
But
that was the business, because once you had a title on it.
It was like youngest girls allowed by law. I remember they used to put that stuff on the cover, and, you know. It was, yeah, I'm glad I never got to work on that either.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, John, why don't you come in here? We got a special treat here. We're going to take a break for a second. This is our friend Outright. He's usually man in the bar here at Roberta's. Everybody knows we broadcast live from Roberta's.
Hi.
And hey. Bushwick, what's up, man? Get on the mic here.
How is everybody?
From the band Grace Sky Peel and the Mike and Judy Show, we always root for the home team. Count on it.
Thank you, guys.
So we thought we'd drop one of your tunes here while we take a break. We got Brains, right?
It's Brains. It's off the new record, Occam's Razor.
All right, this is Gray Sky Appeal Brain, some zombie rap. Drop a joke.
I don't know, y'all can have all the fame. It's 100,000 rappers that all rap the same to me. Like zombie hollering brains to me, brains. But how they all shout game to me, strange. Really, when I sit and ponder on it. Keep my square centered, still I'm off of yonder, on and on, see flaunts it, but season glitter out of real peace, bless you, for real seats, just some shit that I don't feel peace, between the steel and teal, fleas peeps the rhyme song, wrote a rhyme about when she died, choking rhinestones, 100,000 suckers fed her, found her sick, never let her get better, called me down for cheddar, huh? Why the salty can't express the flavor? Foot on the neck, steady talking. How they go, resuscitated, they wrong for it. Two trips, I'm all for it. I told them clean that shit up and tip the bone sorted. I don't know, y'all can have all the fame. It's 100,000 rappers that all rap the same to me. Like zombies howling brains to me, brains. How they shouting game to me, strange. Fresh, cannibal, a pound of my flesh, soup from a head.
that all rap the same to me. Zombies hiding brains to me. Brains came to me strange. I don't know. Y'all can have all the fame. It's 100,000 rappers that all rap the same to me. Like zombies hiding brains to me. Brains strange.
That was Grace Guy Peeler. We're back on the Mike and Judy Show, broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick. And Lux, what do you think? As usual, you know, we're staring at the awkward date table. These two guys do not look fucking happy. They're definitely breaking up today.
Although they've definitely gotten better. They're at least making eye contact now. I mean, it was originally like the awkward stare off in the corner. I'm now seeing like actual conversations.
So we've seen more couples break up here at this window.
Oh, is this the table?
You know, their food came. They seem a lot happier. Maybe they were just hangry.
We would be happy if they were eating some brains. Hey, speaking of brains, zombie porn?
Oh, yeah. No, there's been a bunch of zombie porn. The most prolific zombie porn producing company is probably Burning Angel. They did The Repenetrator. Like, that was one of their first things. They did The Repenetrator. Most recently, they did The Walking Dead at XXX. Although that got into a whole thing because The Walking Dead has an Asian character, and instead of finding an Asian performer to play that character, they decided to dress someone up as an Asian person.
Really? Yellow face?
Yeah, it didn't go over well. But it was just one of those things where they're like, oh, but we're not doing anything, like, racist.
Yeah.
You know, so...
The jazz singer was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Outright. What's shaking, buddy?
What's going on? We had some technical difficulty there.
It's all right. We'll fix it in post.
Cool.
So this is great, though. Outright from Grace Guy Peel. When are you guys playing?
We're playing July 27th next at Fat Babies. That's Lower East Side.
On the Lower East Side. We're talking about zombie porn. We're
zombie
so
porn? I feel like there could be a market for it, but I don't know if it's something that I would necessarily watch. Like, maybe as, like, a fun, like, as a full-length movie. I don't know. I don't know if it would be, like, my go-to porn.
I think there is apparently a market because Burning Angels made several movies. Yeah. Oh, and they made Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
Well, that's a new thing, right? The new thing in porn is to recreate, to do, like, almost
what's the rule, Lux? If it exists, it exists in porn?
Yeah, it was Rule 32.
Rule 32.
If you can imagine it exists or something like that.
Yo, parody porn is huge.
Less so than it used to be, but it's partly just because no porn is selling now. So, and parody porn, the way it's been done recently, takes money. Because if you want to, like, do something that really seems like a show that has a budget, you have to have some budget.
So, what do you think is ruining, like, the sales in porn today? The fact that everyone's just uploading, everyone has an iPhone and it's just sending each other nude pics? Or,
yeah,
like,
well, no, it's not so much sexting. It's that a lot of porn has been pirated and is just freely available. Like, it's totally... primarily piracy, and the internet's just made, not to be a bummer, but like the internet's made it really easy to get not even just porn, but a lot of stuff illegally and for free, and that hurts content creators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my what I explain to people when they say, so how do pornographers make money? Someone's got to be making money if it's free. And you know what I always say? It's like, okay, if you're looking at a free porn site, or the porn tube style mm-hmm. sites, I mean, the stuff that you see on, you know, a Hustler branded site is of such higher quality. I mean, you know, the women, the actors are just so much hotter. Everything has got production values, and it's not that expensive to get, you know, get somebody to cough up a couple dollars a month. If you get get a million people to pony up a couple dollars a month, that's 12 times 2 times a million. That's a lot of fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's making money, but I guess it's been consolidated like the rest of the communication world.
Yeah, it's been consolidated. Fewer people are making money. People are making less money. People are having to... like I heard someone once say that in the past 10 years, what's really changed is now they're working twice as hard to make half as much money.
Yeah, I think that's
probably... It's just not super easy anymore.
It's the whole media world, right?
Yeah, true. This is why we got into the pinup thing, because of the porn thing was just completely, you know, gone, and there was no money to be made there anymore.
So, Chip, you're finding a market for the pinups? It's a great-looking magazine, Temptress magazine.
It keeps getting picked up. You know, every order is larger.
But you're legit. You're going into, like, Barnes & Noble and shit,
we're
right?
We're getting into Books A Million, Hastings.
That's
we're
incredible.
We're in 23 countries.
Oh, wow.
You know, we're getting on Amazon, you know.
Outright. Have you met Marlo? You're one of the models from Temptress?
I haven't. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hello.
Look at the beautiful issue. It's just out.
Chip, I'm still just like astonished at this giant pile of like squack rags you dropped here. This is Shadow Comes Clean. This is the cover of Rave magazine. Young, dirty, and still only $5.99. That's the price, not her age. Secret ancient orgasm trick nearly killed me. How did we get so lucky to work in this business?
I don't know how it ended. I was actually just answering an ad in a newspaper, and I was just so desperate. I was actually stacking fruit when I got my job at High Society.
That's not a euphemism.
No, it's not a euphemism for
that's when you were still per capita. It's
incestuous rape. No, it was. I was actually working at a grocery store 4 days a week, and I had my stupid journalism degree from Oklahoma. And I was applying for every job in the New York Times. This is all
pre-internet. I actually found the ad recently in like some old clippings
you
and
had
stuff.
It?
Yeah, the actual ad from the New York Times. Okay. For you young people, the New York Times was a major metropolitan newspaper.
You young people.
Oh.
You know? And they had a thing called the Help Wanted.
The Help Wanted was about 7
pounds. It was like Craigslist. Kind
of. without the tranny hookers.
And I answered the ad for an editor wanted for an adult sophisticate.
That's what it was, adult sophisticate. Yeah.
That was the shibboleth they used in the industry, adult sophisticate.
I didn't know what that meant.
Well, I like that. We should bring that term back.
Yeah
that
adult
term,
sophisticate.
Adult sophisticate.
Well, very sophisticated. All right, we're going to catch you later. We're going to see Grace Sky Appeal. We're going to come find
you. Thank you so much.
Man.
See you, John.
Rock on, Daddy-O. All right. How did you get this whole racket?
Yeah, what did you? Yeah, you're much younger than us.
How did you get so lucky? Unlike us, you're like attractive and talented.
My
No, thank you. I had always been kind of interested in sexuality and sex ed and was doing a lot of that stuff in high school. And then when I went to college, 99-2003, which was in some ways the beginning of the golden era of internet porn. When it was really cheap and easy to produce, and you saw a lot of people who would never get into, say, magazine or video porn produce internet porn because it was cheaper, you could do it from your house, you didn't have to have all these resources, it was new. Like, a lot of people, like Burning Angel, started literally with some college students. So I was becoming really fascinated because it was a much more diverse base of what you were seeing, because a lot more people just had access to be producers and the ability to be producers. So I got fascinated by this. I started doing modeling and then briefly ran my own site, thatstrangegirl.com, my site ran from 02 to 05, I think, and then I shut it down because I was just kind of exhausted. I took a break from anything adult industry related, and in 2007, I just started this blog that was about sex and pop culture. I knew Gawker people, and they were like, do you want to start writing for Fleshbot? And I was, yeah. So I started as a part-time writer just because I needed some work, and it seemed like fun, and ended up climbing through the ranks and then eventually taking over the site, so...
Ah. It's another Abraham Lincoln story.
You know, just a lot of, like, poor life choices.
Well, I love it that, you know,
Abraham Lincoln story.
See, you know, strong, intelligent, independent women, entrepreneurs like yourself in this business. I think my experience, Chip, what do you think? I mean, I think the adult entertainment industry, such as it is, our experience, has been a pretty good one. I haven't really seen, you know, a lot of, you know, abuse or any, really. Everybody seems, like, very above board. Everybody I've dealt with has been professional in all these years I've been doing it.
Yeah, no, I've never worked.
That includes, you know, Al Goldstein and the tranny hookers that used to, you know, come through to drop their $50 to put their ads on. Everybody was very professional the whole time I was in it.
I got the same thing. I mean, people like to think that, you know, we're out in a dirty, windowless, rusty van kidnapping children from playgrounds to put in a magazine. That's absolutely not the case. They're all, you know, first drug.
Maybe that's how you do it in Oklahoma.
But, they're actually all volunteers. You know, sort of. Then we drug them. But, you know, they aren't children.
So what's the next big thing? I always, you know...
I think it's PG rated, like we're doing with Temptress. I really do. I think our order keeps going up. We haven't spent a penny on advertising.
Everything's been seen. So now the idea is to go kind of backwards, a little more conservative, because no one does that anymore.
Well, I mean...
It's more like the 50s stuff.
I mean, almost naked is almost always sexier than fully naked.
I would say what I think it works...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what works with the PG stuff, the reason why that works is because the bar in mainstream for what's acceptable has shifted so much that stuff that would have been seen as incredibly racy and taboo 50 years ago is now acceptable in a Barnes & Noble or acceptable in that. Because people have seen things that are so much more intense that have been kind of normalized. So I think that's definitely within a more mainstream sphere, it can make money because people have access. I was actually talking earlier with someone about how the problem with, you know, porn gets banned from the Apple Store, gets banned from all this stuff, gets banned from whatever, and people are like,
distributors won't take it anymore either.
Right.
Our distributor wouldn't take it. He was like,
Right, so a lot of distributors or Netflix. If Netflix sold porn, it would do super well. But Netflix doesn't sell porn.
But if they sold porn, though, it would be a separate business, and it would be kept well away from the flagship.
Well, that's the thing. Because you used to have video stores that would have the porn section, but now Netflix doesn't want to sell porn. But if you set up a separate thing, that's a whole other commitment that people aren't necessarily willing to make. So if you have the softcore on Netflix, I'm sure it does really well. And
they do the softcore. Remind me, and it's like, it's, I guess, maybe an open secret, but that's how Playboy makes their money, from producing hardcore pornography. And, that closet queer Hefner who pretends that,
fuck John Holmes.
for one, pretending that they're in a lifestyle magazine, socially upwardly mobile bachelors, but their real business is producing hardcore porn content for pay-per-view, for CDs, and really nasty stuff too.
Although they don't own Playboy TV anymore.
Well, they've been selling everything off of me. They've been losing their hand over fist over there.
I also heard the big corporations, the airlines and stuff, were also some of these. That was one of their little dirty secrets too. They finance
AT&T.
They finance hardcore hotel porn channels. And,
AT&T and Time Warner. I mean, these are the providers that put the pay-per-view porn into your home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question about it. And that's always been the thing. We talked about this a lot. I talked about it in Dirty, Dirty, Dirty.
Sure.
That pornography has always driven technology.
Yeah.
That everybody waited for the porn industry to decide between VHS and beta.
Absolutely.
And when it chose VHS, that's the way the world went. And when the home computers, started, the first message boards were about sex. The CD-ROM business, if you remember, a CD-ROM was considered technology at the time. It was all about sex. And long before Amazon or, the Jews of the New York Times figured out how to get your credit card from you, it was sex sellers who knew how to do it so you didn't have to go down to the bookstore, the adult bookstore, and be embarrassed. And, when talkies become feelies, you can believe it. It's going to be a pornographer behind it. That's the next wave. Which brings us...
To
the teledildonics.
Yes. This is the most exciting news for fat guys like me.
Can you explain to us what teledildonics is?
Teledildonics or cyberdildonics is just a class of technology that allows you to remotely stimulate someone, I guess is really the best way to put it. So the idea is perhaps I have a dildo, and it's attached to a computer, and my partner remotely through their computer is able to control my dildo or my vibrator. It's just a sex toy that's remotely controlled through the internet.
This is the apex of phone sex technology.
This is great. This is what I've been looking forward to for years.
Which brings me to my next question. This is very important. I was trying to get a rabbi on the show today because I'm sure that Tom has something about this. But is sex with a robot cheating?
Well, that's a tough one.
In that scenario, not really, because I have a long-distance relationship, and that sounds very interesting to me.
Why do I think that's intimate? Because it's presumably your lover on the other end of the iPhone there diddling you on his touchscreen smartphone.
I would say it depends on the robot, because if it's a robot that is sentient and can make decisions and you can have an actual relationship with... That, like a Data-style robot from Star Trek. Yeah, that I would see as cheating. But if it's a robot that is just a tool, then no.
Okay, so Data from Star Trek is cheating.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good. There are a lot more geeks in pornography than anyone will ever realize.
Because he's like a sentient being.
Okay, but, but that's like, now you're being like a lookist. I mean, I guess like at
no,
some
it's
point,
not lookist. It's about sentience.
Sentience. Well, he's sentient, really, because he's still a robot or like
still
a cyborg,
plastic.
An alien. What if it was just a very lifelike robot? I mean, it's been suggested to me that if the robot looked like Rosie, the Jetsons maid, it was like a stack of tin cans, basically.
Right.
I'd me, I would, of course, but it would be like sticking your dick into a pinball machine.
Well, I fucked a cantaloupe on the way over.
You can't get away from that fruit stand.
But it's like I don't think a real doll is cheating. And if it was a real doll that could talk and walk, I wouldn't necessarily think it was cheating.
It talks and walks. What if it looks like The Rock? And that's your boy crush, Judy Maguire.
Well, that's your boy crush.
Oh, am I standing in for Judy Maguire?
No, I'm sending it out there. I presume Judy is out there in the field listening to us.
No, I mean, I think it just depends. Like, can it have an intelligent conversation? Can it make decisions? Can it do all of that?
Well,
if it's just something that I turn on, have sex with, and then I turn it off, I don't think that's cheating.
Intelligent conversation, that's just like...
It's really that's boggled.
That's one pubic hair away from it wanting to be taken out for dinner.
We get to that whole thing about diddling somebody remotely. Like, that's cheating, wouldn't you say? I mean, like, if your girlfriend is getting diddled by some guy across the country...
That's totally...
Even though she's not with him. You know, she's like, he's controlling the keyboard, and
that's
cheating.
It's interesting that you say that, because one of the companies, RealTouch, they make like the RealTouch, which is kind of like a masturbation sleeve, but it moves and it can sync with all this stuff, and they have the RealTouch Interactive, where there's a dildo on the other end that someone can fuck or control, and then what the sleeve is doing to your dick is controlled by that dildo. And I think that, like, RealTouchInteractive.com, you could basically, like, have a chat session with Lisa Ann, and Lisa Ann is playing with the dildo and fucking herself with it, and that's masturbating you. Is that cheating?
That's cheating. I would say if you know, for some points of view, I would say yes. You know?
I think when there are two people involved, I mean, it's, you know.
But let's get to, like, if you're paralyzed or something, then that's actually providing a service.
Well, that's different, you know. I mean, you have to.
You're not going to get laid.
Well, no,
normally.
There has to be someone to that you're cheating on.
Yeah, okay? That's true.
Okay. So what you're doing, Chip, clearly isn't cheating. Just keep on
having sex with paralyzed people. You know what the worst thing about eating a vegetable is? The diaper.
Chip, where can we find Temptress magazine?
Oh, it's everywhere. We've got pretty good distribution. We're getting bigger. Like I said, Books a Million, Hastings. We're going on Amazon pretty soon. We're soliciting Barnes and Noble for, I think, the second time. They usually don't pick you up the first time, but a lot of newsstands. You know, if you don't see it around, go on to temptressmag.com and order it. Available there.
I couldn't be more proud of you, Chip.
Well, hopefully we'll get some mainstream, you know, company like Condé Nast to pick it up and buy it, so I can just retire and jump into pile of naked women for the rest of my life.
I love it.
About 6 months.
As always, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet. And Lux, another great pornographic entrepreneur, Fleshbot.com.
Happy to be here.
Fleshbot.com.
You got any parties happening still?
Oh, yeah. Next, this coming Friday, the 28th, we'll be at Headquarters Gentlemen's Club from 9 to 11. It's 552 West 38th Street.
It'll be one gal a night, and one gal a night should be enough for any man, even you, Chip. And Marlo, where can we find you? Where are you going to be breathing fire, swallowing swords, walking on glass?
My schedule's always on my website, marlomarquise.com, and my main producer, Waza Bosco, will be at the Highline Ballroom on July 26th.
All right on. This has been a great show. So, for Judy McGuire and Absentia.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thanks, Chip. Thanks, Lux. Thanks, Marlo.
Thanks, Marlo.
Joel, the engineer. Thanks, and, of course, outright from Gray Sky Appeal, this is Mike Edison. We'll see you guys next week.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.